please be seated. I invite you to take out of the bulletin your GPS, the Grow, Pray, Study Guide. Rick and I are really hoping that we are all getting the chance to read and study the Bible together every single day as we focus on the theme that is lifted up each week. On the backside, you'll find that there's an open page available to jot down or take notes about something you heard in today's message that you did not know about or that the Holy Spirit seems to be inviting you to consider or reflect on more deeply later in the week. In the message that Rick and I gave on my first Sunday here, I mentioned we would be taking time this summer to get to know one another, whether that would be over coffee, perhaps before worship, or during one of my mobile office hours out in the community or at a scheduled house meeting. I am eager to hear about your journeys of faith and encounters with God. I also hope to share some of my personal experiences of God with all of you. The message I am bringing you today is entitled Bread for the Journey. It is the first in a sermon series I am calling Close Encounters of the Triune Kind, in which I hope to share with you some of the life-changing encounters I have experienced with the risen Lord along my journey of faith, and how these encounters have shaped my ministry. However, before we go any further, will you please pray with me? Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight this day, O Lord, our rock, our strength, our Redeemer. Amen. Close encounters with God, that is going to be our focus for the next 3 weeks. God is always with us. We are not just always with God. Kind of like the disciples in our gospel lesson this morning on the road to Emmaus, God met them at the intersection of Emmaus and their lives. But they did not know it at first. They did not know that it was the risen Lord that journeyed with them until they broke bread together. It was then that they recognized God. It was then that they recognized Jesus for who Jesus truly was. And so this morning, right out of the gate, I'd really like to know how you came to know God. Think about the ways that you first were introduced to God. Was it through Sunday school, youth group, church camp? Think about that for a minute. Now think about the name of the person who first introduced you to God, or the person that was the most influential in the development of your faith journey. Who was that person? What was their name? One of the very first encounters I had with God was in my kitchen, and the person who made the introductions was a dear woman named Nanette Faye Reed, my mother-in-law. I think it is important for you to know that I was not raised in church. I did not begin attending church until I was around 35, and until then I had never read the Bible. I did not know any of those great Old Testament stories you would learn in Sunday school. I never heard of the Apostle Paul or Peter the Rock. I did not have a living faith to fall back on when times got tough or when important decisions and choices in life had to be made. I kind of had this attitude that it was me against the world. And in tough times, I never prayed to God. I didn't know God. I just hunkered down, gripped my teeth, and believed that my hard work and my hard-headed, stiff-necked wolfiness would get me through the tough times. After a couple of decades of living this way, I had an Emmaus Road moment. God met me at the crossroads of Emmaus and the dead-end street I had created for myself, and my life was forever changed. You see, I had reached rock bottom, spiritually speaking. I was in a self-devised wilderness. What does it say in Lamentations? I walked in darkness, lived in darkness like those long dead. My life was without peace, and I had forgotten what prosperity, and I'm not talking about financial prosperity here. I had forgotten what prosperity was in the heart, in the soul, in the mind. And so one evening I got this call. It was late, and Kevin was away on business. It was my mother-in-law, Nanette. And she said, Jen, I have been thinking about you and praying for you, and I was wondering if I could come and visit. Well now, who could refuse an impromptu visit from their mother-in-law? And so I agreed, rather reluctantly. I was kind of grumbling, actually, on the inside. Oh boy, This would mean I would have to need to dust and vacuum and clean those dirty socks off the dining room table. But when Nan arrived, she didn't arrive with judgment. She came with some soup and some of her homemade bread, and we shared a meal. And then she reached down into her bag she had brought with her and pulled out her Bible. And at first I was like, uh-oh, here we go. Then she opened it and began reading to me from Ephesians. She read to me about what it means to be adopted into the family of God and how we're all part of God's plan and that we are given this great inheritance through Jesus Christ. And then she laid hands on me and closed her eyes and she began to pray. Now as she prayed, I left my eyes open and I watched her countenance as she prayed and I saw this great light shine from her face. There was a peacefulness and a joy that radiated from her being. And I felt this presence was with us and that I would later come to understand this presence as the Holy Spirit. When she left that evening, I remember standing watching her drive down the driveway, her taillights fading. And it was as though all the light she had brought with her was fading too. And as I stood there in my dark kitchen, a yearning broke through my hardened heart, a longing to know the God that she knew, the God she had prayed to for me, the God that spoke to me through the scripture she had read. I wanted desperately to know her God. I wanted her God to be my God too. That night I had a spiritual awakening standing there at the crossroads of the dead-end street I had created for myself and the Emmaus Road. I had a choice to make, keep living the life I was living or begin a new journey. And I chose the road, the Emmaus Road, to God, and my life has never been the same since. I selected Psalm 116 as part of our lesson for today because it captures the very essence of my personal journey of faith. And I'd like to share just a few verses, beginning with verse 6. Our God is gracious. It is He who makes things right, our most compassionate God. My soul has been rescued from death, my eyes rescued from tears, and my feet kept from stumbling. Now I'm striving in the presence of God, alive in the land of the living. And when you consider Luke's account of what went down between the two disciples and their encounter with the risen Lord along the Emmaus Road, these words from Psalm 116 captures the essence of their story. Luke tells us about two characters walking along. They are disciples. Maybe even apostles, we're not sure. And as a matter of fact, one of the most elements that I appreciate about this story is the anonymity of these two travelers, for it allows them to become any one of us here this morning along this journey on the Emmaus Road. So the same thing goes for the village of Emmaus itself, not a place we hear a lot about beyond this story. It could be any town. It could be Vassalboro or Norridgewalk or even Skowhegan. What we do know is that they are returning home from Jerusalem after celebrating Passover. And as they're walking along this road, I imagine the chatter of their voices fill the air. They cannot believe what has happened over the past several days. And they're just trying to make sense of it all, trying to process it. Jesus, their master, their teacher, their friend, has just been crucified. Jesus died on the cross. Their life as a faith community was no longer the same. Things seemed confusing, rather awkward. Old traditions were fading away. What had been familiar now seemed a bit strange, uncertain. Indeed, the realization of change was in the air. They are unsure of what is in store for them. What's next? They ask. And then, as they round the bend, they come upon this intersection in the road, and at this intersection stands Jesus. But the disciples, they're not expecting Jesus, are they? They're far too distracted by all the problems they're facing. In fact, they don't even recognize Jesus when he joins them. But now comes my favorite part of the gospel story, for within it lies the truth of our good news. God's very nature is revealed to us in that moment at the crossroad of their long and winding journey. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, God sends his son Jesus out to meet these bewildered disciples. Jesus comes to meet them right where they are and as they are, full of their questions, full of self-doubt, full of fear. And he does not wait for them to come to the temple to praise and worship. Instead, he chooses to meet them in the most ordinary of places. And when he asks them about what is on their minds and hearts, they're so absorbed in their own feelings that they cannot believe that this person doesn't know about their experience. And so what do? They tell Jesus the story of his own ministry and death, and then these rumors about his resurrection. I like how my favorite author, Barbara Brown Taylor, explains that. She writes, "In response, Jesus tells it all back to them, this time through the lens of their own faith tradition and scriptures. Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe," Jesus says. The story is not about them and their uncertainty. It is about life. It is about life, the universe, and everything in it. And the journey of the Messiah is laid out before them through God's word. The witness of Scripture, as he opens it up to them, points to the Messiah who, through suffering on the people's behalf, brings freedom from bondage, bondage of every kind, and victory over anything and anyone that opposed God's work in the world. Suffering, death, even death on a cross, and resurrection are not individual tragic incidences, but are instead all part of God's glorious plan, all part of the Messiah's ongoing journey. And as his disciples, it becomes part of their journeys. And it becomes part of our journey, our spiritual journey, for us too. For our evangelist Luke, the resurrection was a sign to see, requiring that one's eyes be properly opened. But for these two disciples, that hadn't happened yet. And so when they neared the village, Jesus kept on walking, as though he was going to travel on. But the disciples respond to Jesus with great hospitality, and they urge him to stay with them at night, saying, "Stay with us. It's almost evening. The day is now nearly over. Come, eat, rest." And as they gather around the table, Jesus takes that bread, gives thanks, breaks it, and gives it to them. And as they shared that simple meal of bread, the disciples' eyes are opened, and they recognize Jesus. And then just as suddenly as Jesus had appeared to them on the road, he vanishes. Yet his presence lingers with them somehow. The disciples could feel him and with him, and they were no longer afraid of what the future held. Jesus had come supplying them with life-giving hope. Jesus had given them spiritual bread for the journey, much like my kitchen encounter with the risen Lord through Nanette Fay. The fear and uncertainty once holding their hearts, minds, and souls in bondage was gone. Instead, they turned to one another with new understanding, and they exclaimed, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking with us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us? Were not our hearts burning?" Their experiences of the journey and at the table transformed them. It changed them forever in a way that could not be kept hidden. Their close encounter with the risen Lord needed to be shared. They got up and immediately returned to Jerusalem. They had incredible news, good news to share. Like these two disciples journeying to Emmaus, I believe that our faith is one that takes each of us on a journey. And the terrain covered is not one of miles, as much as it is one of the heart and soul. You know, whether we're at a place in life where we're viewing the world from a high mountain peak and everything is great and the sun is shining, or we find ourselves trudging through the valley places of our lives. I believe that our God always comes to meet us, providing just the right amount of spiritual sustenance needed to carry us the distance. By God's grace, we each have spiritually traveled great distances to meet here this morning. And it is truly exciting when you consider that, like the disciples in our gospel story, our faith has brought each of us here to this moment in time at the corner of Emmaus and Dr. Mann Road. And if we have the eyes to see and the heart to receive, I believe that God is here to greet us at this intersection as well. As we come to share our faith with one another, as we gather together here in worship, as we study the scriptures together, and as we go forth from this place together to serve our neighbors, our community, the world around us will be changed. We will be changed, transformed through the power of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God. In Christ, God always moves boldly, always calling, always pursuing in love. God is always with us. God never leaves us alone. The Emmaus story resonates with me because it is about ordinary people from ordinary places. God comes to meet them right there in the midst of their lives, and God takes all things once considered ordinary and through the power of the Holy Spirit makes them extraordinary. Jesus gives them hope, gives their lives new meaning, gives them a purpose that sets their hearts ablaze and makes them feel more alive than they have any other time in their existence. That is what the transforming power of Jesus Christ has done for me in my life. I have encountered Jesus countless times, in countless ways, as I have journeyed with fellow seekers of Jesus. Thanks be to God. It has been my experience that when we can seek and recognize his companionship on the way, we allow him to kindle the divine spark that resides within each of us, setting our hearts ablaze and framing our lives, our purpose, our story within Jesus's story. And each time we gather here as a body and celebrate Holy Communion, we receive spiritual nourishment as well. In John 6:35, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be thirsty." In Corinthians 11, we hear of Christ's promise to meet us right at the table. As we come forward to gather at the table again and again, we are strengthened again and again. And we go forth out into the world to live as disciples. My prayer for us is that we will go forth recognizing the risen Lord as our companion on the way through scripture and communion today, and all the other ways and places in between, once we're on the lookout for Jesus. I prayerfully share the Emmaus narrative this morning to remind each of us that Easter does not end at sundown on Easter Sunday, but that it stretches out into the rest of our lives. The story of new life in Christ is our good news story for today and tomorrow and the rest of our days. As we continue in our journey together in the days and weeks ahead, I ask us to be on the lookout for the presence of the risen Christ in our lives. What stories do we have to tell? When, where, and how can we share these stories of the risen Lord beyond the walls of our church with our friends, family, and the community around us? I'll end with a few verses from Matthew 9. When Jesus sends his disciples out, he sends them out with this charge. Don't begin by traveling to some far-off place to convert unbelievers. And don't try to be dramatic about tackling some public enemy. Go to the lost, confused people right here in the neighborhood. Tell them that the kingdom is here. Bring health to the sick. Raise those who are spiritually dead. Raise them to new life in Christ. Touch the untouchables. Kick out the demons. You have been treated generously, so live generously. In the weeks that I have been here, I have been observing and listening to all that you are doing. And you are already doing so much, and I sense your heart for mission. So we are already well on the way. As your new community pastor, I come not only to lead and to love, but also to challenge you by asking, how can we continue to strengthen one another in new ways, to be that bread, that living bread for one another and for the world around us? For it is in the blessing and the great and wondrous privilege of sharing this living bread with others that we can truly say, thanks be to God. Amen.